Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are underway on Tech Talk today, and you heard a moment ago our CCO talk and text line, 651-461-9226. If you want to visit with Doug Swinhart about your computer, by all means call 651-461-9226. If you do call, you'll visit with Lindsey Brown, our producer. If you text, that'll come right into the studio, and we'll get you on the air. Doug, I hope you're somewhere warm today. Chilly one for sure.
It is cold outside.
Yeah,
I'm staying in the house. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, it is one of those where I ran some errands earlier in the day, and it's like, you're not supposed to leave your car running unattended. I get that. It's against the law. But what I did do is I turned it off, locked it up, and then when I ran into a store, I hit the remote start to kind of keep it running.
There you go.
And keep a little, and then that way it's secure and no one can drive away with it. But yeah, it is cold, and it's going to be bitterly cold the next couple of days. So I would assume people are around their computers. And we should remind you, no Tech Talk next Saturday. We'll have live coverage of Twins Fest from Target Field between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. next Saturday. We'll have a lot of great Twins guests, current and former players. And then, of course, all those hosts from during the week. Vanita will be there. Chad Hartman will be there. Jason DeRosa, Henry Lake. We don't know about Adam and Jordana. I haven't seen the entire schedule, but we will have it covered 6 hours at Twins Fest next Saturday, and then we'll return here on Tech Talk in 2 weeks. And oh, by the way, if you miss Tech Talk next Saturday, you can check out the podcast at WCCRadio.com. All right, Doug, I wanted to jump into something, once again, very important, particularly in the bitter, bitter, bitter cold. Don't leave electronic equipment in your vehicle and then bring it in the house and plug it in and turn it on. That is a bad deal. If you carry your laptop with to and from work and you forgot it in the car, bring it in, but let it sit for hours before you fire it up.
Yeah, you gotta let it acclimatize. It's I had a new one delivered. Got it in about 11 o'clock in the morning. I didn't touch that computer until 7 o'clock at night. I took it out of the box and I still didn't turn it on until the next day. That extreme heat and extreme cold and extreme changes, it's a killer, especially for laptops and notebooks. And as this equipment the newer equipment is actually more delicate than the older equipment. So, yeah, that's a good message to send, Steve. Thank you.
Yeah, and it is one of those where I carry gear. I do play-by-play high school sporting events, and with that we carry some gear, including a laptop, to get the stream and initiate the webcast. But it's imperative. It's like I brought all that gear in the house. Now, you know, if it's 30, 35, 40 degrees. But you get down around zero or below zero, that stuff is just frozen solid. Yeah. And you do need to give it time and keep it warm. Even forgetting, like, a smartphone. They're built for temperature extremes, but you want to let that warm up gently. It is still delicate equipment.
It is indeed. And the thing is there's no reason to take the chance. I had one gentleman, he was a minister, traveled someplace, had an expensive 17-inch laptop. And when he got back, went down to Missouri for something, must have been 100, 102 degrees, and he had it in the back of his station wagon. The sun was beating on this black case all day long. He took it into an air-conditioned room, pushed open the lid, fired it up, and the screen just shattered.
Oh, wow.
It just absolutely shattered. And you know, so there he was on the road, no computer, couldn't get it repaired until he got back. I ordered the parts when they were in by the time he got back, but that's a real huge inconvenience. And these kind of things, they're normally not cheap to fix. And even if you're under warranty, if you do it, they know. They can tell what happened. They really can. So it's just not worth the gamble.
And by the way, if you want to reach Doug and talk about computers, whatever problem, hardware, software, whatever, you can reach us on the talk and text line 651-461-9226. And we're going to get started there early today and get in as many as we can. How about this? Last week I was checking on my phone contacts and a whole bunch of new names showed up. It was all my son's contacts. How does that happen? He has an iPhone. I have an Android. What could be going on?
Somebody turned on family sharing.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. This is a function of Apple's. But once it's turned on, it's going to share whatever you told it to share. It's that could be the only thing that could have happened. Apple's really, as you probably know, Apple's really big on security and keeping your data and keeping your equipment as safe as they can. And some people complain that you just can't personalize these units enough. But there's a trade-off. I think that you're better off with a secure device. But that's my opinion. And that's the only thing that could have happened. I'm surprised. Now, did your contacts go into his device too?
Yeah. This is from the text line.
I see. I thought it was at your house.
No.
Text line. Yeah, somebody turned on family sharing. No doubt in my mind.
Yeah, now, Doug, a follow-up on that. I know, speaking of our house, my wife and my youngest daughter for a while, and this has been went on years ago when she was much, much younger, shared a common iCloud account.
Yep.
And it was a nightmare for those two.
I don't agree with it.
Unwind that. Now, once again, this started when she was just a teenager, and, you know, it was more convenient. I think it was easier for my wife to monitor what was going on. But as she got older and they upgraded phones and so on and so forth, just getting the contacts and some of those things unwound took a lot of work and a long time.
Ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is part of my problem with the automatic syncing between devices as well. So some families, you know, some people have five different devices. Now, if they're all their device and they understand completely and clearly how this syncing is going between devices, it's a godsend. But if you don't learn how to do this manually first and really have a wide understanding, it can just turn into a biggest biz bag you've ever seen. To unwind it, it's ugly. You got to get old Apple. Got to separate the devices. Sometimes you got to create new accounts.
Yeah,
it can get very ugly very fast.
Yeah, and once again, I ideally an iCloud account and that backup or whatever backup should be an individual thing. And I understand there's family sharing and so on and so forth. Whatever you want to do. But if there's ever a time to unwind it, it becomes a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, and like Google Workspace now, they've got the right idea. They've had it right They've got, you know, you've got multiple people in an enterprise group, for example. Maybe it's just 5 people or 10 people. But you actually have to select which one of your contacts are shared and who it's shared with. And I think that, and some people come, well, yeah, but we just want to share them all. Well, then create another account and have people share that address book on that account and dump them all in there. But each individual should have their own personal contact and address book. They really should. There's ways around this. Every group where I know will do it on an individual basis. Because when customers, yes, we all want everybody to be able to have the customer information. That makes sense. But they don't want information for your family to go all over. And people have a tendency of using one contact list because it's easier. Yeah. And I think really your idea of separating work and personal, I think, is the answer. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and I completely agree on that. Work, personal, emails. As a matter of fact, on my newest Chromebook, I didn't even, and I know Chromebooks are a little bit different, didn't even put my work email on it. 100% personal. I have another Chromebook that I carry with me. I'll take to meetings, et cetera, where I do have some work-related stuff. But I really draw the line on email. And I think this is really, really important. You know, if you have your work email and access to it on your laptop or Chromebook or whatever, I don't think that's a big deal. I think the problems become when you start mixing email accounts. You have your private email account, whatever that is, Gmail, Proton, Yahoo, whatever you use. And then the work is work. I think mixing those email accounts becomes really, really difficult to unwind if the day comes. Whether you lose your job, you quit your job, you retire, that can be a problem.
Oh, no doubt. And yet, if it's all proprietary information as well, if you work for a company, all their customers need to stay in-house. So when you retire, and some people have the right idea, they'll sit down and they'll go, okay, well, export the whole thing to a file, a CSV file, and that way I can just go through and delete them. And when I've got them all deleted, I have the system administrator just take a quick glance to make sure that I don't have any in there I'm not supposed to. That could be the simplest way to unwind it. But the more contacts you have, the more difficult it becomes, because sooner or later, somebody has to look at each one of those and verify it. No way around it.
Yeah, and whether it's retiring or changing jobs, whatever, just keep it simple. Personal email account, work email account. I can't tell you the number of stories where, well, you know, I just got in the habit and used my work email for all that stuff, and then I lost my job, and the company took back the laptop and locked out my email account, as they should, and as they have the right to do. Then what? It's just bad practice.
Yes, it is. It's I can see it happening. You're in the heat of the business day, and somebody personal calls, so you just go ahead and put it here, and you'll fix it later. That is really bad with computers. That fixing it later, I'll take care of it tomorrow, it's going to get you sooner or later. Just do it immediately.
Yeah, and it is one of those things where I've, for years, drew that line and just said, hey, if I've got something on the personal side, home finance, whatever, I've got an email account for all of that stuff in my personal email, and then the work is work, and that's it in that email account. So I would keep that in mind. And here's the thing. It's another thing that takes a while to unwind. So if you're thinking about leaving your job, or if you're thinking about retiring, or retirement date is coming up, start unwinding it now. You know, start doing the separating now. And speaking of that, Doug, I know you've been a big fan of Proton. How is that going for you?
Well, they've actually got a process where you can actually put a Gmail account or some other account in there, and it just pulls it in and it duplicates. And you can keep them both for a while if you want. They've got this really, really nice process. I've never seen one better. That works really well. My Proton is working just perfect. I don't have enough good things to say about it. It runs and runs and runs. I haven't worked with a better service, and it's private, and it gives you a little bit of anonymity. We'll never have perfect in this country. That ship has sailed. There's just too much commerce going on, and you can't unring that bell. However, you can minimize it, and I think it's doing a really good job. I don't get any spam in my one account, maybe two a month. It's almost like the spammers are afraid of Proton. Never see anything like that either, but I really like it.
Okay, and is it free? Because, you know, Gmail, you're able to get that free Gmail. What about Proton?
They do offer the free service for the mail. In fact, they give the password manager away. It's not going to run as fast as a paid account. And the paid accounts, they've got several levels, so it's not expensive. I really like it. I really do. I paid for, I think, $170 for 2 years. I got 500 gigs of storage in the clouds, full-blown everything. And it just works. I really like the way it works. Well worth it to have it and support. I send them an email, generally got an answer back in 4 hours. And they're smart. These people answer a question, it's answered. I like that, too.
Quick break. We'll have much more Tech Talk coming up. And by the way, you can reach us on the CCO Talk and text line. The number is 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. We will come back. We'll get into laptop batteries and how to maximize the life of that laptop battery. We'll get Doug's thoughts on that in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It is Tech Talk, and we have a number of calls lined up. We promise we'll get back to our text line as well. And we also promise we'll talk photo management, what you can do to properly manage your photos, naming conventions, etc. But let's go to the phones. Lawrence is waiting. Lawrence, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, guys. Hey, follow-up from last week's call. I can't remember if it was a call or a text about a lady who got a suspicious email from Apple about her storage space or something like that. Don't know if you guys recall. Yeah. So I thought it was scam because my girlfriend convinced me to do family share. So I'm piggybacking her storage space and stuff. But I did ask the question, heaven forbid if she lost her mind and broke up with me, could she knock me out of her account? And
yes.
I can't remember the exact words. But he did say that there's a grace period, 30, 45 days, and Apple will notify you before they just automatically cut you off or something like that. So
that's right.
You know, going forward, that's something I thought I want to put in the back of your mind.
All right.
Well, yes, but Apple is not going to separate them for you either. Once they're all put in, that. I think that's it, unless they've made some improvements on that. But used to be they just put it all in one database. They may be keeping them separate now because enough people have problems. They're going to fix it. Thank you for the call. I hope that helps.
Yeah, and it is one of those where it's Doug and I where we recommend that you don't do that. The individual accounts and individual backups, whether it's an iCloud account or whatever, that you keep those separate. As we know, things change. And that comes to keeping your work email separate from your private email, etc. I think keeping those in separate silos, bins, accounts is a good idea. And oh, by the way, I think they make a great point. I have been getting bombarded this week by scam texts associated with your iCloud account is out of storage. We're going to cut you off. We need a new payment method. What did I do? What did I do? Disregarded that. Went into my iCloud account and checked on it, and everything was fine. So
I'm getting them too. Yeah, same thing. Same. Well, I know I'm not out of storage. I know this.
Right.
But for the uninitiated or people who haven't been paying attention that well, that can get to be really, looks like Apple. It got me a link here. I just click on that and fix it. Oh, no, don't click that link.
No.
My other pet peeve, Steve, is when people use Google or Apple or Facebook to log into another third-party site. Don't do that.
No.
You're mixing things that, in my opinion, should never be. They just shouldn't be mixed.
Right, and you can use Google to log in, et cetera, particularly some sort of merchant online. I never, ever do that. Log in with your username and password, and that's something we've talked about for a long time as well. I want to get one more call in real quick before the break, and that is Shane. Shane, you're on the air with Doug. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Say, I've got a question about a Dell XP that's probably 4 or 5 years old. And I have a problem with the keyboard, particularly the QWERTY line, the top line of letters. And I'm thinking the problem is software, because what will happen is if I hit a couple of keys, like the O and the P, I don't get anything to show on the screen, but it's not as if it's not working. It's delayed. And I tried reinstalling the driver for that. Would that be like a Windows problem or something else, or is it a hardware problem, or what do you think?
Is this a laptop or a desktop, may I ask?
I'm sorry, yeah, it's a laptop. I'm sorry.
I'm thinking this. I'm thinking that if you can actually download Linux and put it on a USB drive, you're not going to install it. You're just going to run it as a live copy, boot from the USB drive, and test it that way. If you eventually are getting all the letters, It may just be how your delay is set up in your BIOS. I don't know if Dell still has that, but years ago, you could actually set the number of milliseconds per delay. Most computers have done away with that. But chances are it's Windows. And this would be a good proof for you to check out. And you can also go to the manufacturer, it's a Dell, go to Dell and see if what they've got going on there as well. You could also do the same live test with Windows if you preferred. You just got to have an ISO and create a bootable DVD or a bootable USB drive and boot it from there. Test to see. You may have a whole bunch of stuff running in the background, but it should be affecting the whole keyboard, not just the top line. Right. If you want to give me a call next week, we'll see if we can dig into that a little deeper. And thank you for the call.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. We've got to run to a break. And Shane, thanks for the call. That can get really tricky if part of the keyboard is malfunctioning. And by the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program. We're going to take a break right now. We will indeed come back and have an update on the weather. A very cold forecast, at least for the next few days, here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk here on this Saturday. By the way, you can check out our podcasts online, WCCORadio.com. That is WCCORadio.com, and we invite you to download those. By the way, next week we'll have live coverage of Twins Fest, so no Tech Talk next Saturday. We'll return in 2 weeks. Doug, we've got a lot going on the text line. Let's get into it. In general, what's the best manner for recharging laptop batteries? Is it better to let them run down almost all the way on a regular basis or keep them fully charged until you need to use the battery?
I wish I could explain to you, Steve, how many different opinions I've gotten about all this right. From professionals.
Right.
Yeah, some people say you got to run them down because it counts by the cycles. And I think that if you run them down too far, it's more dangerous than not running them down at all. If you have a battery in a laptop and you are continuously keeping it plugged in, one of the best things that you can do is at least once a month, unplug it from the AC and run it down to 30, 20%, and then plug it back in with it shut off and let it charge. Do that once a month and that will help. But there, as far as, well, do I run them down or do I charge them all the time? I don't think it's healthy if you're charging them when they're only 10% down. And I don't think it's healthy to keep them plugged in all the time either. But at the same time, most people with laptops and notebooks and netbooks do run them plugged in. But as we move forward, we're going to see some real improvements in batteries coming up. And I think it'll be important to see how they answer this question. I know for certain on a new battery, you want to break it in. You want to give it a memory. You want to do this cycle about 5 times minimum. You plug them in, charge them all the way, unplug it, and run it until the unit actually shuts off. Plug it back in while it's shut down, charge it up, and go through that same cycle 5 times, and your battery is a much, much stronger battery. But as far as charging them in between, I don't think it makes that much difference. I haven't seen a difference, and I've done it both ways. The idea here, it's changed several times over the years. So breaking them in properly, that's the most important.
Yeah, and I have heard that if you get a new Mac, that they have some battery management help built in, if you will, and in a way that it does manage the battery for you. So I have heard that, but I haven't experienced it. So I don't know. I have a iMac desktop, but I don't have a laptop at the moment. But I have heard that on the newer models, where if you do leave it plugged in, it's going to manage that for you.
That's true. And, Dell does something like that in all their laptops and notebooks and netbooks as well. You can set it in the BIOS setup, the actual firmware. It's plugged in all the time. I want it to be adaptable and set that to auto, at least for the first 3 months that your Dell is new. That will help also. But this breaking them in, this forcing a memory is huge with all lithiums.
Yeah, and they don't last forever, and we do know that. And that is a do-it-yourself project that you can get a new battery for your laptop or Chromebook and put it in. It is doable.
Indeed. And now, the thing is with lithium batteries, they really don't know how long they're going to last. If you compare it to like a gel battery like you got in your car, I know for certain that most lithiums are going to last anywhere from 15 to 20 years if they're treated properly. Temperature does affect these things. They get cold. They start losing their charge much quicker when they're cold, many of them. They're starting to fix that as well. We live in interesting times, Steve, with batteries. That's for certain.
Yeah, and once again, it's one of those where sometimes you'll have a battery in that'll just last forever, and sometimes they go bad in a short period of time, and that's true with auto batteries, marine batteries, laptops over the years. It's just, you know, some maybe you get lucky and you get one built on a Wednesday. I like that old terminology.
Yeah, I actually got into a discussion group a couple of years ago, and people were complaining about the regular battery. They said the expensive batteries, they aren't any better than the cheap ones. Buy the cheap ones. Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. I think that it's, you know, best batteries I've bought over the years are the Amazon brand, and they come in a case, and you always got them, and they're inexpensive. They've been really good to me. So I think that, you know, you don't want to be overspending on them, that's for sure. You don't know what you're getting. I agree with that.
And by the way, you can reach us on the WCCO talk and text line today, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. From our text line, I have two questions. One, my new computer has Office 2021. Outlook on it is a huge step backward. Can I install an older version of Office if I wanted to?
Well, you're probably going to create all kinds of can of worms. The difficulty here is your Office package came as a full package. And yes, you can uninstall that Outlook. But to get it clean enough and to have the older Outlook work with your newer Word and Excel and whatnot, you could be opening up a whole biz bay. I have never experienced that. I try to have all my contacts up in the cloud. So I'm using a web browser. I leave that to, it's kind of like having a modem from Xfinity or CenturyLink. Same thing. You just stick with what you got. This is, and the newer versions of Office, people are having some issues with these, no question.
And then the follow-up to all of that is, from our text line, and this is question number two, I tried to get support for the above issue about maybe installing an older version of Office, particularly for Outlook. Got a phone number for Microsoft support that led me to SS Geeks. Is SS Geeks a legitimate service? They always want to sell me hacking protection software.
Yeah, Microsoft has been doing this for a number of years now. If you're a home user or a small business and not registered as an enterprise, they're going to shuffle you off to a third party. I don't think that they vet these people either. Yeah, you might end up going to Panama or Thailand or India. Who knows? I don't agree with that philosophy. At the same time, especially now with Office, and Office is going to be free here coming up. You can have it for nothing, kind of. And so, well, it's going to lead you to have a 360 account for sure. But, yeah, as far as the support goes, it's not so good. I think they're really missing the boat here. And like many corporations, they're shuffling it off, and I think the business that says, we're going to make that department an expensive department, the best of the best employees, you got to work for us 10 years before you can even get in here, and you'll work 30 hours a week and be paid more. I think if they took that approach, I think the entire business would have to follow it. I'm waiting for somebody to do support right.
Yeah, and Doug, this gets back to, I know there's a lot of people that have strong ties or loyalty to Office, et cetera.
Oh, sure.
And the various programs, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint and Outlook and all of those sorts of things. There are alternatives. There are good alternatives out there if you're willing to try something new. I think when it comes to all of those office-type programs, Libre is great.
Top
there
shot.
Are options.
Oh, there's plenty of them. And I would encourage people, too, to when you're looking for some type of software or application, just go and open up a browser, go to Google or DuckDuckGo, either one, and make sure that what you're looking for, at the end, you put a space, a plus sign, a space, and then just type in open source and see what you can get for free. Well, or at least contribute. But you'll be amazed at the amount of alternatives. And many of the commercial packages have been built on an open source package, and you can stumble across one that actually runs better. And because it's a pre and doesn't have any copy protects, doesn't have any of the hacker garbage. Open source should be everybody's thing. And I also think people should be concerned with cross-platform. Today you go on a PC and it's running Windows. Next week you might be on an Apple or a Mac. If it's cross-platform, you don't have to change much of anything. Your data is going to shuffle over. And I also think, and I'm very strong in web-based, anything that's up in the cloud, if you've got a trustworthy server, and most of them are, that's really the way to go. Because now you don't depend on any device, and your data is safe. That's my opinion. I hope that helps.
Yeah, quick break. We'll come back. We have more Tech Talk coming up. By the way, we promised we're going to get into this. We'll get Doug's thoughts on TikTok. Will the ban happen tomorrow? Everybody's talking about that. And we promise we'll get into photo management. How do you organize your photos? We'll do that in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. And Tech Talk is back. A couple of things we want to get to before we run out of time on the program. Photo management, it came up a week ago. This is a big deal, Doug, whether you have them on your phone or on your computer. A good way to name and organize your photos and not keep duplicates, it is a big deal. It takes time.
It does. And I went hunting, of course, and I came up, I think one of the best packages they could get, it's called Digicam, DigiCam. It's wonderful. It's cross-platform. It's self-hosted, so your files are going to be on your computer, but that's where you want them when you're organizing them. Now, once you get them all organized, send a copy up to Google Drive or to iCloud or to some other web storage, Proton Drive, whatever you have. It's not that expensive. By the way, we haven't mentioned this for a while, Steve, but if people have a Gmail account, they have Google Drive built in already, and they'll log on to their Gmail account. Just open up Google Drive, and there you are. I think they still get 18 gigabytes. That's a lot of space, and I believe it's still free. So that's most people have access to that, and I think there's a lot of them that don't even realize that. But as far as something that you can work with, Digicam is at the top of my list. I really like it. And you can do other things, too. You can straighten out some photos, and I think it removes red eye, and you can do some editing, and it is open source. If you like the program, you'll contribute $15, $20, whatever is affordable. It's important that we all live on the honor system when we're dealing with open source. But if you don't like it, it didn't cost you a penny. And there's lots of open source software out there for photos. And, of course, you got Adobe. That's a purchase one. Yep. And there's lots of image viewers. Nearly every image viewer, graphic viewer, will have some semblance of managing your photos. If nothing else, create the year that you took the picture and just copy them in there with the default file naming that your camera did. That, if nothing else, that will be huge. You got to separate these things somehow. I like the thing where you actually got to put in the year, the month, the day that it was taken, then an underscore, and some semblance of, so you can remember it at a glance by looking at the file name, Joe's birthday, Steve's anniversary, whatever. I like that too. Whatever you do, it's your system. You can do it any way you want. But I really like this Digicam. Yep. Check it out.
All right, very good. Real quick before your phone number and email, I don't think they're going to ban TikTok tomorrow. That's just my opinion. I think there's a political game going on of some sort here.
I agree.
We'll see about that. All right, Doug, your phone number and email.
Well, thank you, Steve. 651-552-9543 and admin at WCCOtech.com. admin at WCCOtech.com. 651-552-9543. Stay warm, Steve. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right, very good. We'll be off next Saturday with coverage of Twins Fest from Target Field. Once again, you can find the podcast at WCCRadio.com. We'll have the news and weather in a moment.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.